And welcome back, everybody. This is Luca Maino. This is Learn to Learn once again. Good to see everybody. And let's listen to this a little bit more. Welcome to everybody. I had to play it the whole way through. I got to learn how to do that. I have to play it the whole way through. I should do that from now on because I always cut it off and, you know, you can't do a good mixed job and volume down and everything. Even with Sam, I had a hard time doing it. Welcome back to Learn to Unlearn. Your host, Luca Maino, and the best producer in the whole wide world, Steve, is with us. How are you, Steve?
A little tired today. I had a rough night myself.
And I hear Annie had a rough night too. I wish I could help. I wish I could just close my eyes and go beep, 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 you know, and somebody would go, oh, thank you, Luca, you know, be a little bird on somebody's left shoulder, like they say, you know. So negativity is going to really bring us down. Before I say hello to everybody, I got to say this so I don't forget. Yes, and hello to everybody in the chat. I will get to you in a second. There's a really good story about the frog. You know, Steve and I talk before the show starts, right? And all of a sudden I go, oh, 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 the frog. You know, like my sister would go, oh, 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 when she was young. When you have an idea, you know, instinct, you know, or insight. There's a frog that wants to climb a tree. Okay? And everybody's going, oh, come on. You know, what are you doing? You know, you can't climb a tree. Oh, frogs aren't supposed to climb a tree. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you know, they're going after him. They're going after him, yelling at him, telling him he can't climb a tree. He's not supposed to. Frogs don't do that. Okay. He climbs the tree anyway. He gets to the top. And it's like, well, what happened? Well, you know what? The frog was deaf. And the frog thought that everybody was clamoring him, you know, calling him on, you know, and hoping for him to reach the top, you know what I mean? And rooting for him. That's what I'm trying to say. So the moral of the story is be deaf to negativity. That's what I say. And it's a cute way of saying it, I thought. So hello to everybody in the chat. Yes. And Boston Mark and Sarah and Melissa and everybody listening, and maybe Moon will join us too, and Bible Thumper Mom as well. All the people that share with us and that, you know, maybe that are listening too and that can't tune in or can't go into the chat. Hello to everybody as well. There's a lot of stuff I want to cover today, and I'm just really proud to be here. But there's one thing that I did forget.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Woo-hoo. Okay. That was April 23rd to Steve. I hope I embarrassed the hell out of him. Drum roll.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You did.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do after that, since I embarrassed myself too and I can feel my blood pressure rising? I'd like to throw a couple of memes at everybody and to be really different, because you'll see where this is going. Oh, boy. Because, you know, we got to start somewhere, right? So I want to start with memes that really get us going, because this is going to be a fun show. And for somebody who doesn't like to be structured, as I say, the show is pretty structured. I hate to say it. So I'm going to deal with this myself. The first meme that I want to share says the false prophets told everybody what they wanted to hear and the people loved them. The true prophets told the people what they needed to hear and they stoned them. That's basically what they're doing. That's what's happening today. And it's pretty obvious. Oh, and there's also something, you know, I know it's going to be a good show today. You know why? Because we always have interference. check this out and write a note if you have to. Make sure you notice that when you're about to do something really good, or when something's really important, when something really matters, when something you know is going to be like just so energetically packed and so wonderful, something always happens. Okay? Steve and I start. Luca, share screens. As he always says, share screens doesn't work. Okay? I just happened to put up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 MP3s that I have to play today, plus the commercial. I had how many word perfect things open? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at least here. I had more than before. Okay? Had to reboot. All that goes out the window. See? Because you have a good show coming up. This is how you know. So it's like, wow, I know this show is going to be good because there's already interference somewhere, right? All of a sudden, share screen doesn't work. Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden, Luca, your mic's not working or something. Something will happen. It's absolutely awesome. Denis Diderot, in the 18th century, he said, "We swallow greedily any lie that flatters us, but we sip only little by little at a truth we find bitter." I love that one because that's where I'm going. And at this stage of my life, I'm answering to, you know, like my shows are about what resonates with me, right? Well, here's one. Don't ask yourself, Luca, what the world needs. Remember I shared this before? Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And go do that, because that's what the world needs. The world needs people who have come alive, okay? And I see it as a color, you know? Boston Mark is a color. Sarah is a color. Melissa is a color. Annie is a color. Steve is a color, right? And everybody's good at what they do. And everybody gets together, and that's the rainbow of knowledge. Not the trance rainbow, like they like to ruin everything and throw everything upside down. You know that the trance colors, too, if I'm not mistaken, they're inversion of the colors of the chakra, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody can check that out for me, too. That was from Howard Thurman, by the way. You know, ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do it, because that's what the world needs, right? I once was looking for a really good meme about activism, and I could halfway remember what it said, but, you know, it just slipped my mind until recently when I was accused of, you know, Luca, you know, you're on SSI, right? Yeah. Well, the government pays for your food, your lodging, for Section 8, for every, yeah. And you're sitting on both your radio shows clamoring and you know, bickering and biting the hand that feeds you, Luca. And I thought, that's a pretty challenging one. So I took it to heart, and I happened to remember that one meme that says, "Activism is the rent that I pay for living on this planet." Alice Walker said that. And I think that's, you know, she might not have been the one who said it, just like Voltaire might not have been the one who said whatever. But it's the message that counts. Activism is the rent I pay for living on this planet. I could be doing other stuff with my life or with my time. I don't know what that would be. But remember when I was talking about truth and how truth will set you free? Okay, I'm going to try and get into this today. I don't know how this is going to work, but truth also sets boundaries for you. Okay? For me, okay? This is Luca's, you know, my little world here, okay? So I'm just talking by experience. I'm talking for me. And if it resonates with you, go for it, because this is important and it's enough. There's enough truth behind it and importance behind it to share. So what happens when you live your truth? Okay. There's nothing but truth that enters your life. You're not interested in anything else. You're not going to lower your integrity level. You're not going to lower the bar. You're not interested. That's not going to happen, right? You're not going to entertain stuff that is below that level or below that integrity, whatever you want to call it. Everything you do, everything you touch becomes truth. On top of the fact that you don't have the obligation to be the same person that you were 2 minutes ago, because that's what changing is. We were just talking about change in the chat earlier. with the that Bush part of the song when the village idiot starts talking in that song, everybody learns, because that's what was, you know, we believed that at the time. We learned about him. Whoops, you know, now we've come to repudiate it. Now we've come to say, hey, whoa, you know, my first teacher in spirituality also told me, Luca, I can say salt today and pepper tomorrow. He says, be ready, you know, be flexible. Learn how to stretch your mind. If you choose to believe only what you see, then you also choose to be blind to all that you don't see. How do you like them apples? That's a hard one to swallow. And it's true. Okay, fine. No, I don't want to see it. No, I don't want to see it. Oh, okay. You want to believe that 6 million people died and that, you know, Hitler was a bad man and that's it. You know, this is what we're going to get into in the second part of the show today, because we're going to do the ending of the Ernst Zundel tapes that I prepared for you, and with a little something extra from another whistleblower. So there's a lot to talk about today. When we talk about culture, okay, it sounds like a good thing. So let me tell you that culture in this sense is something really bad. It's something that AI or that man is trying to make. In this next meme, it's priceless. Culture is seen as a single mode, and everybody has to conform. Okay, nature is busy creating absolutely unique individuals. Like I was just saying, like we're all a different color, right? Whereas culture has invented one single mold. Think 1984. Think Orwell, right? To which everybody has to conform. It's grotesque, says Krishnamurti. Okay? And look at this. When you're evolving to your higher self, the road seems really lonely. It does for me anyway. It has for a long time. But you're simply shedding energies that no longer match the frequency of your destiny. How cool is that? Another one that you are familiar with, if you are a Learn to Unlearn listener, many will appear to have lost their souls in these final days to come. So intense will the nature of the changes be that those who are weak in spiritual awareness will go insane. For we are nothing without spirit. Okay? This is what they want to kill inside us. It's exactly what they want to destroy. You know, everybody is at a different level of consciousness, right? So you speak your truth, even if they don't want to hear it, even if they don't, accept it, just move on. You can't convince a baby to walk when he's in the crawling stage, right? These are all really important messages, and I love bringing them back because they're so true. What is Coachella? Coachella is a music and arts festival, right? You're sitting in a train and you're going by and you know that the next stop is yours. Not this one coming, but the next one, right? You come in, you're rolling into the stop and you're looking out the window, and right on the wall by the railroad tracks, you have a sign that says, written on the wall by hand, it says, you stole our children, you cut their braids, and then wore our culture to Coachella. Let me repeat that. You stole our children. Okay. This is relevant to today too. Think CPS. Okay. In the Native American world, we can think, if you're living in Canada, that would have been the Northwest Mounted Police. That was before the RCMP. Okay. Here it would be the police coming into the homes of the indigenous, ripping the children away from the family's arms, from the parents, et cetera, right? You stole our children, cut their braids, because you knew that hair represented one of the most powerful spiritual ties to the land and to their culture as a whole, then wore our culture to Coachella. Because that's what they do. They steal the culture. It's called, there's a long word for that one. When you're misrepresenting a culture, it's really, anyway, I'll think of the word and I'll write it in the chat if I remember. It's really... culture misappropriation or something. It's really sad to see this. And this is what the people are doing. instead of sharing when you have money, right? What are you doing? You're hoarding it. Okay. There's a really good meme by Dostoevsky. He says, my mother used to tell me that poverty is not a sin. It's a sin to be rich and humiliate others and not share what you have. Okay. The way we're going with all of this, everybody's hoarding. We know the less than 1% that are hoarding and that are getting ready to do whatever they want with us all. I had a meme that I found right when COVID was getting really, really big, okay, and COVID was getting hot, and I was watching, like everybody else, what they were going to be doing with COVID and how they were going to be attacking. And I think I even talked about this on the show as well at the time. It's really, really heart-wrenching, and I'm showing it to Steve at the moment. The FDA comes out with a picture of the sacred drum in Indian country, okay? The sacred drum seen from the top with people sitting around it, and four chairs are empty, and four other people are playing. So there are four people that are missing around the drum. And in the corner, it says, we can do this, Indian country. It's time to complete the circle. Find vaccines near you. Okay? And this is a picture. So they're not only are they prostituting the sacred, but they're using the sacred to go say, hey, you know, take this shot, you know, encourage yourself to be part of the depopulation process that we have prepared for you, just like in Indian times, just like in the 19th century, whatever it was, 18 something. Okay, I'm showing Steve right now a big version of this that I found. Sure enough, we can do this, Indian country, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Okay? And then you have a meme that's showing Avatar on one side and showing the Brazil tribes on the other. When you realize Avatar was trying to teach you something about evil corporations invading and destroying your sacred land, you know what? That's not only true, but it's one step further. And this is where we're going in the second half hour. That's one layer that you can think of, because everything's in layers, right? One layer says exactly that. Avatar, when you realize that Avatar was trying to teach you something, that's not true. Avatar was done laughing at us, telling us, hey, this is what they're going to do to us. Not what they did to the Indians. No. This is what it's predictive programming. I really believe that. These people in Hollywood, and who controls Hollywood, right? People in the chat are the first people to say, yes, Luca, you're right. Israel, high up, Israel, like, you know, maybe military or intelligence, like high up there, okay? Tell me they didn't control JFK. Tell me they didn't control what? Swindler's List? Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it from now on. Swindler's List. See? When humanity's balanced, it's supposed to be right in the middle between matriarchy and patriarchy, right? Between love and hate. It's supposed to be right in the middle. The other side of that scale, what I just said to you, is something else that I shared, which goes way into Indian oral tradition, which should never be written down. Because if you can't remember it, it's not for you. That's how strict they were. We are not Indians, and we are not Native Americans. We are older than both concepts. We are people, the people. We are the human beings. Okay, people that do not harm others. You know, where's this first do no harm stuff? Hello, right? The human beings, that's what they're called, the people that don't harm others. Okay. Meanwhile, on the other side of the scale, what are they doing? There's the worker that's using acid in a spray, and he's spraying off the, you know, thousands of year old hieroglyphs and cave paintings and irreplaceable historical monuments, right? That's spraying it away, and there it is dripping down you know, as he's spraying it away. Oh, go back to work. See, what they want to spray away and do away with is also talk about the Holocaust. Okay. And this is what I have to get into in the second part, because we've been talking about this. You've been patient with me. I played four clips of Ernst Dundel in his time of, you know, what he says and what's there and what people either don't take the time to go look for or don't know it's there. I was able to take a 2-hour movie interview of him by an Israeli reporter, as you know, and make up the most important parts of it. And I have the last part of it that I'm going to start with before we move on to the next part, because there's no other clips of him except for that one left. So after the break, we'll talk about that. But you know what? Ironically, and I brought it out so Steve can see it himself. Look at this, Steve. Elder's Meditation of the Day, which is beautiful. It comes out from whitebison.org. Okay, it's beautiful. It's a daily meditation by the elders. Right. April 10th. Together we can end the Holocaust against the environment. I'm like, are you serious? Haida Gwaii, traditional circle of elders. Okay, you go up with them and you try and tell them anything, you get kicked out. Because you're not allowed to, because they're elders. How dare you, Luca? Oh, how convenient. Well, if you've been listening to what Ernst Dundel said about the quote-unquote Holocaust, okay, it's the biggest lie that we have been told. It's not that it did not exist. It's not at all that it didn't exist. Of course, everybody knows it existed. It's we were lied to about what the truth is. So here's a Native American meditation of the day. We are familiar with the Holocaust against the people. When that happens, we feel bad and we never want to let it happen again. We need to seriously examine what human beings are doing to the earth and the environment. You know, all these falsehoods are flowered in and protected with this beautiful, gorgeous little cover of you know, good words and beautiful intent, right? Many species are extinct and many will become extinct in the next 10 years. We are methodically, that's a guilt trip. We are methodically eliminating life that will never return. You know what I mean? Okay, so we're going to use a lie to explain that. That really bothered me. So what do? I called them at White Bison in Colorado. I called them. Hey, you might want to think again. Can I tell you very quickly that's a falsehood? Okay, she almost hung up on me. It's like a lady answering the phone. It's not anybody in charge or anybody important. You know, why are you wasting your time? Somebody's going to ask me in chat probably, you know, seriously, but at least it's done. Okay. Wow. So I had to say it on my show. You know what I mean? And you're just bombarded every day with stuff like this. So as I said, when you're feeding your truth, things seem to work out, right? Well, before we go to the break, we have enough time to go to the news. Maybe that's what we should do, too. That would be a good idea, because there's something really disturbing coming up. And I just happened to catch it this week in the Magdalen Islands. The what? The Magdalen Islands. They're an archipel in French of several islands together in the region of Quebec. It's off of the Atlantic coast of New Brunswick. It's absolutely gorgeous in Canada. You have to go there by ferry, okay? That's the only way. Well, by plane as well. But, you know, I'm going to be studying the Magdalen Laundries in Ireland that I wanted to do a segment on. Today it's called The Chinese System Coming to Canada, Tightening the Noose in the Magdalen Islands. Can you believe it? And it's funny because the French-Canadian women, and this one in particular, like they're very loud, they're very vocal, they're very outspoken, okay? Plus they swear a lot. And, you know, men and women that are traditionally French-Canadian, they're it's brutal sometimes. the first municipality to fight back on QR codes that are finally being introduced all of a sudden in a meeting. It's a town meeting, right? It's your normal town meeting. And if it was in English, you'd be listening to it, but it's all in French. Yes, the first municipality in Canada as a whole. And of course, the French Canadians are known to be, well, more vocal. Okay, so here are some of the exchanges that I got from this, from the person behind the desk and the lady in the podium. Okay, you will need a QR code to enter the Magdalen Islands, not to leave. These new municipal rules have been abided by, just like when, you know, you make a reservation for a ferry crossing, you show ID. And later on, he states, after she interrupted him twice already, this is all in accordance with making the Magdalen Islands safer and more secure with regard to tourist activities. And she's shaking her head. Third time, she says, those are services, she keeps snapping back, not coming and going, for simply leaving my home and coming back. So from now on, I have to prove that I'm a Madelino in order to come home. She cuts him off two other times, and finally he gets cocky enough to say, ma'am, if you're going to keep cutting me off every time I answer you so you can push your own agenda, she cuts him right off and says, I'm sorry, sir, I'm cutting you off because you always talk about services. You're not talking about me coming and going. She says, however, this is the first in Canada. She says, but, you know, that already exists in China. Huh. So what are we going to be like, guinea pigs? And then they start looking at each other, and she starts being told to be quiet. And when you're starting to be demanded papers to come back to your home, you know, I hope you will document this well, she says, because she knows she's going to be shut up real soon. And indeed, she is. See? So to me, it's another example of them deciding ahead of time, passing the law ahead of time, as they do with their laws. You know, they invent two laws and they bring them in, and then they invite a heated discussion on which one of them is true. This is exactly what she's saying it. How many class or school meetings have you seen, or board meetings or city meetings? Okay. Each one of you has seen them. I say that they write the laws in the dead of night, or whenever they can, whenever they want, they pass it all. Oh, guess what? You know, this is what's coming. We'd like to have your, you know, local support or ideas. You know what I mean? I call BS. I'm sorry. And that's where I think all this is going, because she even says in there, you know, there's even a serious loss of liberties in all of that. Is there not? Wow. You know, so it's something to think about, just like everything else. When we come back from the break, I have a nice surprise for you. We are going to even, you know what, I'm even going to surprise you with my musical segment, but I'm going to end the show with it. So Steve and I are going to be watching that. Steve's going to have to help me. No, I have my timer. I can handle it. But I'm going to save the last 4 or 5 minutes for a song that everybody's going to love, that everybody loved when I introduced, and that Annie and I just adore, and that I haven't heard in so long. Last time I heard it, it made me weep. I felt like that you know, that tug in your throat when your eyes are starting to well, okay? So we're going to get to that when we come back. Steve, thank you for being the best producer around and for joining me in yet another show. Would you like to say anything? As Roger Landry loves to say, Steve, would you like to mention anything before the break?
No. No, you're doing fine.
Well, it's hard, you know? And I really want to squeeze in a couple of things about challenges that I really need to share with you, because this is a family, and I won't talk about this on the other show, because I'm more family oriented with you. So it's going to be something I'm going to pass by you. I want to know what you think. So get a piece of paper and a pencil handy when we come back. I'm just kidding. It's going to be later on, but there's something I need to share with you. And I just found out that that's what I'm going to be doing by introducing it. So it's all about becoming better people, right? And we're going to be back. Luca's going to wet his whistle. And we'll be back in 1 minute.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Yes, and that's what we need to do. When TLB Talk will be coming back up, probably in July, we'll be letting everybody know about that. Well, there's a lot of things going on in life, okay? And I'm waking up to a lot of things. I don't really know myself how to handle them, okay? But it sure is working. I can tell you that right now. So for the last week or two, we have been talking about Ernst Zundel, and he was speaking with a young, arrogant Israeli reporter in 1996 from his home. And for people that don't know, I mean, it'd be really good for people to check out the other shows that we talk about with us, the last two anyway, clip 1-4, in which he talks about the myth of Israel. He talks about the hypocrisy of the modern Jew. He talks about German pride. And karma as well. You know, karma reminds me also, if I don't sit there and tell the truth as best I can, like he says, you know, who am I? You know, it's not going to be good for me. Karma will come back to me and haunt me. So it's like, you know, something has to be done, right? So I don't really want to play all four clips, obviously, or go through them again. But what I really wanted to do was give you the last part of clip 4, where he talks about what would have happened if Adolf Hitler hadn't come along, and what Germany was like at that time in 1933. And he says it best. And I really want to start with that because this is it's absolutely priceless. And he says it with my grandmother's accent on top of it.
If Hitler had not come to Germany in 1933, Germany had 270,000 suicides the year before. Germany was, in Berlin, the sin capital of the world, thanks to largely Jewish entrepreneurs who ran the smut films and the cabarets and so on. Germany was dope capital for Europe. Germany was the sick man of Europe. German industry was virtually dead. German social welfare payments, for instance, in the state of Thuringia, were so horrendously high that they were 90% of that state's budget. Without Adolf Hitler, Germany would have died with a whimper in 1934 or 35, and the world wouldn't have given a shit. Okay, so Adolf Hitler saved Germany, and I am a child of Adolf Hitler. I would have never been born if my dad, my father, hadn't gotten a job thanks to the genius of Adolf Hitler. And millions of other Germans would have not been born who today dump on Adolf Hitler. They deserve their miserable lives to this man who saved Germany, gave them work, bread, and honor for at least 12 years. So Germany at least didn't live on its knees or crawl on its belly for 12 years like it has done since Adolf Hitler's demise. At least he gave the Germans 12 years of liberation and freedom. Now, you can immediately smirk and say, but what about all the concentration camps?
Yeah, I see. And he explains that in clip 3 and 4. And that's, you know, it's something to really revisit. So my idea was to say, hey, you know, we're walking on the beach. Okay, this is what I find. What do you think? Okay. It's a matter of putting everything in the box. I've never heard this stuff before. It's coming directly from him. It's because of him and his two trials that the number 6 million dropped from 6 million to 4 million on the plaque, and then 1.5, and now down to 1.4 million. Okay. It's not that, it's not loving the other side. No, it's not. You're not being a denier of any sort. You're saying, hey, this is what I found. Guys, how come we're not talking about this as much as dumping on, that time? Huh? Oh, okay. So you know what? This is how karma works. I think this is the German people thanking me for what I'm doing. Okay. You know what happens? Not even a day later, I don't think it was, after I'm preparing this stuff. I'm getting it ready, and obviously, you're going through Fox News, and the volume is off, right? Okay. All of a sudden, I had to turn the volume on because somebody was showing their arm amidst Columbia University, New York riots, and stuff like that against Israel and everything. Something was up, so I turned the volume up, and this is what I hear.
We have the cutest next guest for you, who has a horrific story of her childhood at Auschwitz. But NYU, following in the footsteps of the Ivy Leagues, as anti-Israel protesters charged toward police with those flares. This happened last night, leading to dozens of arrests. So here to react is Tova Friedman. She's a Holocaust survivor who shares her stories on TikTok with the help of her grandson. She also wrote a New York Times bestseller list. It was number one for several weeks, The Daughter of Auschwitz. You were 5 and a half when you were taken and put in this concentration camp with your mom.
Right.
You were liberated a year later at 6 and a half, and you remember it all.
A lot.
You were showing me in the commercial break your tattoo on your arm.
Yes.
What did they tell you when they were tattooing your arm?
They told me that I don't have a name. This is my name. And the name was very long, 27,633. And I couldn't remember it. So they tried to teach me to remember it because this was my name from now on.
Your name, you were a number. You were
exactly,
just a number.
Exactly, I was a number.
And how painful at 5 and a half.
It was quite painful, but I was just fascinated because the woman said to me, if you ever survive, just wear a long sleeve shirt and nobody will know.
Wow. That's, you want people to know. And you
I
see
want
these,
people to know.
You
absolutely.
See these protests here in America, anti-Israel protests, anti-Semitic. What is your response? Especially,
it is shocking. It is utterly shocking. You know, when I walked out of Auschwitz with my mother, walking through these gates, I said to my thought, I was 6 and a half, and I was a very adult 6 and a half, not like a child, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, I will never, never have anybody call me a dirty Jew or anything else again. I am free now. And when I came to America at 11 and a half, it's like I came to the promised land. And it was just a fabulous experience. And here it is today. I am shocked. I am pained. I'm scared. I'm scared both for America. I'm scared for the Jews. And very painful for our young people. I have two grandchildren in WashU and one in Cornell. And they're scared.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine living through this. It reminds me, I was too young. I wasn't alive then, but I heard about that, exactly what happened in before the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And what's shocking most of all is that the professors, some of them, are on board.
What is your message to them who didn't live through the Holocaust? You have all these college students. Some of them are deniers of it. What is your message if they're watching? The ones that are protesting and yelling.
Okay. One thing I want to say before she says what she's going to say, what's your message, right? It's very important to remember there's a reason why they're keeping us ignorant, okay? We don't know what you just heard. Most people don't know about what you heard about the clips 1 through 4 with Ernst Zundel speaking of this stuff himself. Most people don't even know this stuff, okay? So they're saying Hitler was a bad man, 6 million people died, and that's it, okay? So pay attention to what she says.
protesting and yelling things like death to America or I am Hamas.
I just want to say that if this isn't contained, if they don't think about it, what is going to be the end product? What is the end product of any hatred and prejudice? It is death to somebody, could be death to themselves, death to their opponents, because we didn't stop Hitler. Like, we had a chance during Kristallnacht. We could have stopped it, but nobody did. So I ended up in Auschwitz, and 1.5 million of Jewish children were gassed. That type of behavior and anger and hatred can only end up in tragedy. Mm-hmm. Tragedy for everybody. Not only tragedy for the Jews, God forbid, tragedy for themselves, because it's going to be a terrible clash. We have to find a way to stop it. You know, I think of it as a virus, or like a cancer. If you don't stop it early, it kills the body.
It metastasizes.
It's going to kill the body.
Tova.
It's killing our country.
It is. Tova, thank you so much. God bless.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Again, think what you want to think, okay? I just happened to listen to a radio station that I'm familiar with, and all of a sudden I'm listening to RFK Jr., okay? And I didn't listen to him 10 minutes before you hear, oh, you know, the people that died at the murderous hands of the Nazis and the camps in Hungary, unquote. You know? Using atrocity propaganda, right? It's like, oh, okay, so now I have a key. So now I know that every time I hear that, that's, you know, okay, that's just for me. See, so this is stuff that's really important to share, because we are considered whistleblowers, you know. Before I get to the part of this where I really would like your help, I need to share what Ernst Zundel says about Schindler's List. And I'm calling it Swindler's List from now on, because this is my next endeavor. I'm going to tear it apart with the help of him and his tape with what he says. And this is part of it. Quote, psychic assault on our souls. Okay, unquote. Again, vicious porn. Okay. The Philippines government banned it. Too much frontal nudity. Oh, and it's shown to students. Did you know that the Philippine government said no, and Steven Spielberg was trying to shove it down their throat, and they said, no, take the nudity parts out, and we'll think about it. And he said, no, it will not be re-edited. So somebody's been pushing for him to keep that way, okay? The elite will not speak out about it. Again, it's shown to students, okay? Schindler's List, right. All Germans in the film are shown as corrupt, filthy, moralless, and there's sex everywhere. It's based on a novel. Here we go. On the book. What does the book say in the front, in the back, and inside? It's a work of fiction based on a novel. Okay. You know, see what I mean? How they're playing with us? You know, how many people died in World War II? Oh, I don't know. Well, how many people died in Auschwitz? Oh, 6 million. Yeah, at the hands of Hitler. Oh, see what I mean? So when you have an immediate answer like that, that's why people love people like Tova Friedman, because she can throw in there just like RFK Jr. did for just a few seconds. You know, Hitler this, Hitler that, bad, 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 you know, gone. And then he can push his narrative, which is exactly what she did, to end off. And then she calls it a cancer. I say it's a cancer not knowing. I say it's a cancer talking bad about people when you don't know what you're talking about. I say it's a cancer spreading mis and disinformation in a world that's teaching you how to be more secure, just shutting your mouth or making stuff up or just doing what you're told, or just go with the narrative, Luca. You don't leave World War II alone, Luca. Okay. No, I don't think so. See, and, you know, me being German, maybe it touches something deeper. I'm not sure what it is. But, wow, you know. So this is the calling out section, is it? I think so. Thank you. Okay, so this is the calling out section. I'm just taking my breath here for a second. So after working so hard on myself, okay, I keep trying to make myself sharp and I keep trying to be the best that I can be. I have a question for everybody. And I would love an answer if you can, because this would be really cool. So everybody's supposed to be able to speak their truth, right? And we have to listen to them and have them be able to speak their truth if we want to have them listen to us and our truth, right? Okay, sounds pretty good to me. Nobody interrupts, everybody talks, and everybody's fine, right? That's pretty much how it goes. Fair enough. Okay, so what happens? Let's see. How can I explain that? So we all have the right to free speech, right? So what if you see someone pushing an agenda, deliberately passing on false information? Okay, stuff that you know is 100% false. And this is researched also, and it's not hearsay. What do you do? Oh, everybody has the right to say what they want to say, right? You know that what they're pushing is 100% nonsense. It's not true. It's dangerous to the people. And, you're continuing the falsehoods 80 years plus later. And I think you know where I'm going with this. So what do you do? Oh, you just let the – oh, there's Melissa. Call them out. Call them out. Oh, interesting dilemma. I love you guys even more now. Interesting dilemma, okay? Listen to this. Especially when – okay, this is like 25-plus year research, okay? Something that is obviously very important to me, okay? This is so horrific. I don't even know where to go with this. And I've shown Steve the pictures. I don't need to say the name of the person. It's irrelevant. Well, it's not really irrelevant, but it is to the people out there. When you know the stuff is true, the meaning of Hitler's Germany while governing his country, okay, home of the germs. That's right. Nazi Freemasonry. Wow. Freemasonry. Okay. German. Okay. The person says, split the word German. Okay. German. German means rot of man. That's right. ROT. And this person can prove it with this number stuff, breaking down what numbers mean. It just goes on and on and on. And then talking about also how Nazis germinated transhumanism. Oh, boy. Merck equals Merkel equals germ warfare. This is the meaning of Hitler. I'm going, okay. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be helping this person do their show. I'm supposed to be a co-producer. I'm going, okay, what do you do? The good producer is supposed to step back, okay, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm going on the other side, okay? Check this out. The good producer that you are, Luca, should be able to completely disassociate yourself with the person and the subject involved. You're supposed to go, oh, okay, that's fine. Yep, that's what the person thinks. Hey, they have the right to think. I'm like, I don't think so. Give me a break, okay? So that's exactly what I did. In the way that I studiously and lovingly prepare my shows, I sat down 23 days later. Why? Because the Indian philosophy says, wait the entire, you want to hear something fun for the women? Wait an entire menstrual cycle. Wait an entire 28 days to act on anything that's upsetting to you, or that's distraught, or that makes you distraught, whatever, okay? You wait 28 days, you think about it, and then you revisit it, and if you feel the same way or worse, go for it. So we're on day 23. I write something out, interestingly enough, because, the material that I just told you about is side by side with my work for this week's show with Elm Zundel, where I'm talking about what you just heard. If Adolf Hitler hadn't come along, what would Germany have been? Okay. Side by side. I'm going, no, that's it. I'm done. So out comes the letter. And, you know, you're going through these guilt feelings. You're going through these, you know, Luca, this is, you know, you have to think about it. Is this your reaction? You know what I mean? Like you're going through the flashbacks of abuse and everything. And is it really me? Is this really what I should do? Is this, you know, is this me overreacting? Okay. I went through all of that. And my spirit said, Luca, tonight, sleep on it. And if you feel the same way tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, whenever you wake up, you know what to do. I woke up in a thunderstorm and I turned over, got the message, hit send, blink. So after making sure that person did see it, which I'm so happy she did, I blocked her and she blocked me, and that's the end of that. So this is what we have to do, okay? And I want to end that by saying that this is exactly what Creator God does to us. Creator God sends us challenges like that to see how much we've learned, to see if we understand what's going on, to see how much we've developed, to see, you know, what we've become in the world where we should be knowing what to do right about now, okay, with what we've been given. This is what's so cool. So I'm really honored to be able to say that, hey, you know, I found out what my boundaries were, and it was like, no, time to go, you know, time to go. For anybody who saw The Wall by Pink Floyd, okay, it was a heavy thing that had to be done, but, you know, it had to be done, okay. The Christian Zionist movement. Wow, that's a mouthful. The entire Christian Zionist movement is based on footnotes from the Scofield Bible. DeceptionWatch.net tells us this blasphemy was financed by the House of Rothschild with the sole purpose of promoting the Zionist agenda, which makes perfect sense to me, you know. This is what they're doing. It's got nothing to do with God or Jesus or Christianity. Absolutely nothing. It's, you know, it's all hidden. The hidden hand, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? I have two really important clips to share with you also. And we're doing perfect time. I'm so happy because this means things are doing well in my life right about now. And I'm glad to be on track. Okay, so we have this guy, Larry Fink. From BlackRock, talking about forcing behaviors, okay? And then you're going to hear Yuval Harari talking about how we're just useful, you know, idiots. We're not useful to them, okay? Listen to what Larry says, and, you know, women will probably get more out of this than men, actually.
You now make a point of that's an investment criteria for you.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year, and what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted. Okay,
we're doing the same thing.
And so it's just you have to force behaviors, and if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted, and that's not recruiting, it is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities, and we're going to have to force change.
See what I mean? That's exactly what they're doing. They're forcing their hand on us all the time with like a noose, tightening, like I said, with the Magdalen Islands segment, right? Listen to what Yuval Harari says real quick.
In the book, if I understand it correctly, you argue that actually the amazing breakthrough that we are experiencing right now not only will potentially make our life better, but they will create, and I quote you, new classes and new class struggles, just as the Industrial Revolution did. Can you elaborate for us?
Yes, in the Industrial Revolution, we saw the creation of a new class of the urban proletariat. And much of the political and social history of the last 200 years involved what to do with this class and the new problems and opportunities. Now we see the creation of a new massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform us in most tasks and will make humans redundant. And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Ah. Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
Keep them happy and keep them playing computer games at home, you know, those that survive what's coming, you know, ask them if they care about us. Yeah, see? So this is a really good place to end the show, because I really have to keep that at least three and a half minutes of the song that I want to play for you, to say goodbye to you, to tell you that I love you all, to never underestimate the power of you, okay? And we'll even finish this segment next time, if you'd like, because there's more to it. There's a little more to it. And thank you for telling me to call people out, because that's what we have to do. And I know that a good couple would, you know, that's what the other side of the couple would say to the other one, you know, if ever that came in. I know Melissa would say that to her better half. So, you know what I mean? It's important to stick together, even if we disagree, it doesn't matter. And, you know, we have to challenge each other. And this is why I love you guys. And I love Annie and Steve. And Steve actually challenges me on the air. So I just want to say thank you to Steve also before we go, to everybody in the chat and to Annie. Steve, any last words? Maybe not. Maybe what? He might. There he
why
is.
Why do you want me to have last words for?
Because we love you. You know, we haven't talked again. You got away with not saying anything again.
Yeah, you were doing so good.
Okay. Well, it is time, and thank you again for your time, for everything, Steve, and for the network, and for everybody listening. You're going to know what song this is right when it starts, and I'm going to love it as much as you are, so we'll see you next week.
Dry bones rattling, a lonely soul slipped and fell into a deep black hole. I can tell you're lost, I'm here for you. Wildfires burning you down to stone, blind eyes turning from a world so cold. A million miles apart within my reach. You see me looking out.